When we live a life of faith, are we including our finances as well? Or, as the saying goes, are we hedging our bets? We'll talk about that today here on Men Care by Radio. Welcome to another edition of Men Care by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and I would like to thank you for being with us once again today. We're continuing our series looking at biblical principles of handling finances. Now, I know this is an area many of us could probably use some advice, and I'm working from the material of Dr. Ken Williams of Wycliffe Bible Translators. As we continue through this series, we're looking at three areas of our life in regard to finances. First, Christ-honoring attitudes. Secondly, Christ-honoring faith towards finances. And last, Christ-honoring behavior in our finances. Today, we're looking at the second important area in our view of finances, and that is Christ-honoring faith. Many truths in the Bible exist in tension, and there is a delicate balance between faith and works when it comes to money. According to Dr. Williams, the balance that we are comfortable with probably is not the same as someone else's balance. But my desire during our time together is that we all rethink our own balance between faith and works when it comes to finance. If an eavesdropper listened in on conversations in your home, would that person be able to tell that you live by faith by the way that you discuss money? Finances provide outstanding opportunities to grow in faith. So the question is, has your faith grown because of what you've seen God do for you in this area? Two essential kinds of faith are emphasized in the Bible, and they must exist in a delicate balance. As we look at this, ask yourself if they are in balance in your life. Here's the first essential kind of faith that we find in the Bible. It's passive resting faith. This is a deep, quiet trust, independent of circumstances, based on our knowledge of God's character. It is the kind of faith Abraham demonstrated as recorded in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, when Paul wrote, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." Are each one of us fully persuaded that God will fulfill his promises to you? I know that there are times when we might waver, but we should have that deep, constant assurance that he will provide. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7, give us seven specific things to do to grow in that resting faith. Trust in the Lord, there's the first, and do good, the second. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. The third, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, the fourth. Trust in him, that's the fifth, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Here's the sixth one. Here's the sixth, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And the seventh one, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So the question that we can ask ourselves is, do we consciously do these things when times are rough? In a difficult financial situation, this kind of faith makes the difference between anxiety and peace. In fact, it is an absolute necessity in his service. I've read and I've heard that one of the biggest areas of conflict within a marriage is due to finances. And just think, if we are able to exercise this kind of passive resting faith and to have a quiet, deep trust in the character of God and what he will do for us, what that can also do for our relationships with our spouse. There's a second kind of faith, and that is an active, assertive faith. You see, we not only need that passive resting faith, but God encourages us to have an active faith. So, what do we mean by that? Well, this is the kind of faith that boldly asks God for what we need and want. We have that example from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And in John 16:24, we read, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." This kind of faith not only asks, but it acts. It motivates us to move out by faith, expecting God to work on our behalf before we see visible evidence of his working. If you remember Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith chapter, there are many examples of this kind of faith. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 29, notice how the two blind men acted out their bold faith. Here's that passage. "As Jesus was walking along, two blind men began following him and shouting, 'Son of David, have pity on us!' After Jesus had gone indoors, the two blind men came up to him. He asked them, 'Do you believe I can make you well?' 'Yes, Lord,' they answered. Jesus touched their eyes and said, 'Because of your faith, you will be healed.'" I find it interesting that they didn't come up and just quietly say something to Jesus. They shouted at Jesus, "Son of David, have pity on us." Wow, now that's bold. And that's something that we need to do, according to what Dr. Williams is saying. Our missionary lifestyle provides wonderful opportunities to grow in both passive and active faith. Why not build your own personal Hebrews chapter 11 as you see God working in response to your faith? I really like Dr. Williams' idea of a journal of God's faithfulness. I like it because I know in the case of our own family, it is so easy to forget all the times that God provided for us. But when we can draw upon the times past when God provided in an amazing way, then it can help renew our faith in what God can and will do as we take everything to Him. One instance that I can remember was when my wife and I and our oldest son, Christopher, were on furlough, and we were pretty much given a house to live in. The rent was so low because it was given to us by a family that supported us, and the house came with chickens, and so we had fresh eggs every day because of those chickens, and it was such a great way in which God provided to have something that was simple and yet such a nice thing to have done. Ask yourself or discuss it around the dinner table as to what God has done and continues to do in his provision, and then start writing those things down. And that is our look at Christ-honoring faith. On our next time together, we're going to look at Christ-honoring behavior. And I want to give you just a bit of a sneak peek at what we'll be looking at on our next time together. You see, it isn't enough merely to have right attitudes and faith. God expects us to express our attitudes and our faith in action. We must conscientiously follow the principles of the Bible related to finance. So next week, we're going to talk about 8 of these principles found in the Bible. The first one is pray in faith. The second is keep your relationship with God as a first priority. The third, don't buy on credit. The fourth, don't spend major amounts unless you're certain it's God's will. The fifth, give generously. The sixth, have a regular savings plan, but beware of wrong motives. That's a very interesting one that will be very good for us to look at in depth. The seventh, train your children at every opportunity. And the eighth is demonstrate your gratitude to God and others. These 8 principles are what we're going to be looking at next week.